just curious, in terms of your clients, do a lot of them come from previous agencies or in-house? They're doing in-house and they're messing it up? How does that work? But first, a word from our sponsor, Ahrefs. Do you wish you could get more traffic to your website? Half the battle of that is knowing what to fix on your website regarding SEO. You could always hire an SEO consulting firm to do that, but that could be expensive. I've always said, if you could do it in-house, understand SEO, understand what you need to fix, you could probably fix it better than most SEO companies because you know your business, you know your customers, you know your content better than anybody else. What if you get a free SEO audit from an amazing toolset? That is the power of Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs Webmaster Tools gives you the tools and the information you need to go ahead and see a list of things that you could fix on your site immediately. You'll see the keywords you're ranking for, understand how Google sees your content and your site, and discover how making changes to your website could absolutely blow up your traffic in Google search. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/webmaster-tools. And thanks again to Ahrefs for sponsoring.
We see a lot. We have people who come to us from other agencies. They're either unhappy for some reason, or they're just at a new stage in growth. A lot of times they come to us from scratch. They're just getting an idea off the ground. Like, you know, we'll help them from the beginning. So we've worked with lots of folks coming from all different places, and we try to our best.
What's easier, getting a brand new client, a startup, or taking an agency, taking it over from an agency?
It's probably easier to take over an existing account because there's already data there. You have some learnings, you have a baseline. So now it's like, okay, how do we build on top of this? As opposed to somebody starting out, you need to spend the first 1, 2, 3 months to establish a baseline, understand how, you know, what your metrics are, and then you can kind of optimize from there.
Interesting. So kind of going off topic, and I didn't prepare you for most of these questions, but when you take over a new client, are there any, like, you look in the campaign, are there any red flags there, like, I don't want this client? Have you gone that far? I'd say the phone call, like, they seem like a pain in the neck, but in terms of just looking at the campaign technically.
So if we see that things haven't been given the right amount of time to get to a place of success, that's a bit of a red flag. Or if, like, an account has been through a whole bunch of agencies in a short period of time. So that's, like, something that tells me, like, there's not enough time given to, like, a real strategy to perform and gain momentum. But usually we try to find that before we start working in an account.
So you don't ask them for the account access before they become a client?
We typically do. If they have something, we try to, you know, do a high-level account audit and just, like, see what's been done in the past. But also just understanding what their goals are and whether they're realistic or not. That's super helpful for us.
So what is the right amount of time to see if there's success?
It varies depending on the budget and the overall volume. So, like, for larger accounts, you're able to see movement a lot faster because you have more data coming through. You know, so an account spending $5,000 a month versus account spending $5,000 a day, you need more or less time based on that because it's just a data thing. Well, the other piece that can go into that is the cost per click. Some accounts are paying, you know, 50 cents, a dollar for a click, and some are paying $25 a click. So you just, as long as you have enough traffic and conversions, on the lower end, probably like 4 weeks, on the higher end, maybe like 12 weeks to really, like, gain momentum and get somewhere. We usually say like 1 to 3 months.
1 to 3 months, just to see if it's working right.
Yeah.
But you can always make it work right, or you can always make it work right?
Yeah, during those first 1 to 3 months, you're tweaking it a lot. But usually within the few weeks, you start to see, like, am I getting any conversions? You don't have to wait 3 months and then decide. Like, you'll see right away, you'll see some data. You want to be making progress over that time frame, but it's usually I say between 1 to 3 months is the amount of time you got to give it to, like, really know you tried your best to do all that work.
Are there any, like, you get phone calls and you're like, you know what, Google Ads isn't for you, it's just too expensive?
Yes. Yeah, I think I see that a lot with lower average order value private label brands. So, like, let's say you're selling a $30 widget. It's, and you don't have a great value proposition, like, how is this better than everybody else selling something similar? In those areas, like, it's a little too hard unless you have really good conversion rates. So, you know, in places like that, it's a bit tough, but I think it's tough there even on, like, the Facebook or Instagram side because it's hard to make the economics work with such a low average order.
You would think it would work if the keyword was targeted right, because even if, like, cheap stuff should be cheap clicks, but it's not always the case, right?
It depends. For products, like, let's say you're going into apparel.
Right.
There's a million people selling hoodies. your hoodie's $35. Like, okay, how do you stand out from the crowd? So, you know, Google shopping, your picture shows up, it's something, your price and all that stuff, your reviews come up along the listing, but it's still, it's hard. There's so many options and you're coming up against brand names that people know and recognize. That's the tricky piece. So a lot of times for those kind of brands, they see more success on paid social.
Okay. And you keep going back a little bit to e-commerce. Google has this list year, at least in 2022, this video probably be out in 2023, but I'm sure the trend will continue. Their transformation of the Google search results for e-commerce has been like drastic. Yeah. How are you taking advantage of that? Or it's just like, oh, I see this new feature, let me see how to get
so in there. That kind of relates to it. I mean, in general, my philosophy being that I've been doing Google Ads for so long and I've seen so much change, I've learned not to be resistant to change, because if you keep trying to make your old tactics work in the new system, right, there comes a day where you just get left behind because the technology moved so far forward. And so my theory is always like, let's figure out how to take this new thing and make it work the best way possible. So like Performance Max, as an agency, we went all in on it and we were able to figure out a lot of things that much faster than most people, because like we had more data coming through. And by the way, Performance Max, going back to your last question, is a great opportunity for those people that struggled, let's say, on pure shopping. Performance Max, because it adds that level of like similar to paid social with ads on YouTube, Gmail, Discovery, GDN, all that stuff. It's starting to work for clients who see success on the Facebook, Instagram side, even with like lower AOVs and things of that nature.
Interesting. The one thing that confuses me, and I think it confuses a lot of people, is that there's this element on e-commerce and products where there's this overlap of organic and ads at the same time. You have Google Merchant Center, which could populate both the organic free listings and also populate the Google Ads shopping listings. Could you maybe break down, if you know, like the how they kind of overlap and how do you distinct ads versus?
Yeah, I mean, so free listings came out in the early days of the pandemic. Great opportunity for people to just kind of get additional traffic. I think it's something that Google was thinking to add for a long time, but typically, like we set up the data feed in Merchant Center. You flow the traffic to the shopping tab with the free listings. In Merchant Center, you can actually tag like different UTMs on it so that you can track in Google Analytics the traffic separately. Like, you know what came from free listings, what came from there. But I mean, ultimately for us, our focus is on paid media, so shopping ads, but we do make sure to set up the free listings. But it's a little harder to report on the free listings. You have some reports in Merchant Center, but it's a very different thing. Like, they show up in different places. So the free listings are only in the shopping tab on the second half of the page, whereas the first page of the search results is all ads.
Right. Unless they have that new interface now where they're kind of like showing these
testing
boxes.
Yeah.
And that's so, even harder to track because we don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. So I think like the main thing for us is, so they have, you know, on a very technical level in the feed, you can put UTMs in a regular link field, and then there's a second field called ads redirect. If you put a URL in there, it uses that separate link for the ads as opposed to the free, and then you can track it separately in Google Analytics or wherever.
So your clients, if you're managing the Merchant Center stuff, they're on the free and the organic side.
Yeah,
ads side
as
well.
We typically just set that up for everybody.
And the ads outperform the organic stuff, I guess.
Yeah, because you can force it to get more traffic. Whereas on the free side, the only thing you can do to get traffic is similar to SEO, is just optimize your data feed, which you're going to do anyway for your paid campaigns. But you know, the better you do, the better you do. You can't really influence it as much. On the paid side, spend more, bid higher, you know, create more aggressive campaigns, you'll get more.
And plus Google only shows ads, and you have to keep scrolling and scrolling until your finger falls off, and then you get the organic.
Exactly.
So. Cool.
Exactly.
What else do you have on the Google Shopping? I mean, I know one of the topics is like Google Shopping and Performance Max.
So a lot of people ask me, like, when do you use Performance Max? When do you use Shopping? I think, like, for me, the delineation of where they're different is, like, shopping is very good at capturing bottom funnel demand. So again, if you're selling commoditized products, electronics, anything with like a SKU that there's 100 merchants, typically shopping is going to be the best for you. Whereas like Performance Max can work well on that with very specific setups, but Performance Max really shines when you're also trying to do prospecting alongside it. And so you're adding your creative assets and you're getting all that display network on the side of it.
So just to summarize, when it comes to Performance Max is better at maybe a higher level, top level
funnel. Yeah, because it's a mix. It's a mix of like the whole funnel.
That's, and the brand, right. I can see that because you could be on Google, you could be on YouTube. And
exactly. And it also does the bottom funnel. Like it even grabs a lot of branded search, which, you know, people don't love. But it takes every step of the funnel. It shows your ads on YouTube, Gmail. It shows you in the middle of the search funnel and then the bottom as well, retargeting ads and bottom funnel searches.
So you do both, I assume. For e-commerce sites, they're on using PMax and they're using Google Shopping ads.
Typically, we try not to just use one. We try to figure out what works best for what. When clients have larger catalogs, it's easier for us to, you know, isolate certain categories. We'll do shopping, certain we'll do Performance Max, whereas with smaller catalogs, it's a bit trickier, but you lose a lot of control with Performance Max. At the same time, it can perform a lot better, so you don't want to not use it or not take advantage of it, but so you want to like keep some products in the shopping side where you have that level of control. You can push and pull levers as needed a lot easier.
Cool. I feel like I should be asking you more detailed questions, but this is like, I haven't really played too much with Performance Max. I go into the kit. It's funny because I report on it and I always just make fun of people who don't go in and like they write about it, but they don't go into it and talk about it. But there's only so much I can go into it without actually running full-ledged, like, I don't have an e-commerce site. I mean, I have clients, but I'm not going to be managing their stuff and refer them to you.
I mean, that's the thing is Performance Max can also be used a lot for lead gen. It's a little trickier because you get a lot of spam. Like, the main difference between lead gen and e-commerce on Performance Max is...